Hey you, welcome to Bloom Baby Bloom, a podcast dedicated to holistic living, learning, and healing from an African-centric perspective. I'm your host, Maina Chenzi, a holistic life coach, multi-passionate creative, and your dedicated digital soul sister. Hey you, welcome to Bloom Baby Bloom. This is May speaking. I hope you're well. We continue to speak about bodies in this month's subject. And today's subject is particularly about body psychotherapy and basically focusing on how you use and connect your body to process emotions, to process trauma, to aid in the many forms of healing. On my Instagram last week, I spoke about self-therapy, and that was basically focusing on how we can use so many approaches to self-heal, which I feel like, especially in these days, I think basically everybody needs to have a form of therapy or a way of self-care that includes therapeutical practices that helps you align and rebalance your well-being. However, I also think that in these days where it's not always accessible through money to get professional help, we sometimes forget how we are so capable of healing ourselves, of taking care of ourselves, and that there's so many things embedded in our culture, embedded in our way of living, even things we can access outside in our environment through nature. But basically, I wanted to make this episode just focus on how we can use our bodies to connect to healing. Hopefully, that gives you some ideas and approaches that you can apply or even see them differently if you already do these things with your body. So the practice of psychotherapy is quite holistic in nature because it's a branch of therapy that focuses on the understanding that the body and the mind are connected. And that basically through your body, you can express certain experiences of trauma or of unwell-being, dis-ease. However, you can also use your body and the shifting of your body or the use of the way you move in your body to address those certain traumas or unwell-being diseases and fix them through the practice of your physical body, basically. Obviously, it's quite unique in the sense that some of that traditional psychotherapy usually just focuses on addressing your mind and how you think, how you see, which is also as important, but it's not as holistic as incorporating the body in your practices of healing and restoration. So I wanted to share a bit of the essential concepts of body psychotherapy. This link I will also try to put in the description of the podcast. There are a few essential concepts of body psychotherapy. The first one being body-mind. This is perhaps the most fundamental concept of body psychotherapy. So basically, this is the body represents the embodiment, integration of thoughts, feelings, and physical bodily experiences and sensations. All parts of a person can be accessed at various points in treatment in order to effectively and holistically address concerns. Another concept is called armoring and character. So basically, armoring is a concept developed by Rick, and Rick is the person who developed this branch of therapy, and he was understudy of Sigmund Freud. Interesting fact. Anyway, so he believed people develop systems of bodily armor or muscle tension, rigidity, in order to protect themselves from emotional and physical pain. These set of armor contribute to the development of a person's character. According to Rick and his followers, who developed 5 character types to use during assessment. Another one is the concept of energy. The concept of energy is central to the application of body psychotherapy. Energy stored in and released from the body plays an important role in how people carry themselves, experience and heal from pain, and interact with the world. things like energy flow and release and muscle pulsation and contraction and energy charge and discharge are all things body psychotherapists pay attention to throughout treatment. The next one I think is one I really find interesting, especially in current times in therapy. There's been more of a focus on this, which I think is so important. It's about body memory. This is the controversial premise that memories can actually be stored within the body. Body psychotherapists believe that because of this, some memories cannot be processed through talk therapy, but that these traumatic memories and problematic tension can often be released through body work and other physical techniques. And the last but not least is body psychotherapy's concept of trauma aligns with that of the body memory, of course, proposing that traumatic experiences can create energy buildup or blockages that lead to physical and mental concerns. So basically, this is the groundwork of this field or branch of therapy, which is, I think, a very holistic approach to therapy. It does not necessarily mean that it excludes talk therapy, which I think is quite important because it kind of makes you understand the person or even yourself and why you might feel a certain way or act a certain way. But I really do feel just in general, we can read a lot about a person by how they carry themselves and how they move in the world. Without even talking to them, you can get a sense of where they are in life and how that is expressed through their physical movements. And I feel like this is a great key for us then to tap in the other way, in changing our physical expression in order to connect to our emotional being or how we feel inwardly. I can also, of course, include the decolonial approach in this as well, because a lot of the understandings of the human body are quite fragmented pieces. And in the Eurocentric worldview, things are put apart and it's not a focus. It's not often a focus on how things work together, but how they work separately. And I think that's quite interesting because in a lot of more indigenous ways or practices of living and existence, things are seen holistically. There is an understanding that this is not just that, but it can influence that and that and that. So you have to fix things from a holistic perspective and you have to see things from a holistic perspective. Now, from a more personal approach, I would say that something that for me I've seen in my own healing, especially using my body, has been basically how I move, how I walk. I think that has been one of the biggest changes I've seen in the way I use my body to express my inner alignment or even to add and sustain my inner alignment through how I intentionally move my body. Now, this is between two different things. For example, we can start with even just how I walk through life. I talk about this often because for me, it's quite an important experience and an important part of my healing as an African woman. I think for me, when I went back to my home country of Uganda when I was 25, and that experience of seeing my people and how they moved through their bodies and how they used their bodies, and basically noticing that the way I walked was a bit hunched, and connecting to the root of where I come from and seeing how people moved in their bodies and realizing that there was a sense of, I would say, pride or uprightness in the way people walked. And there was a sense of dignity in the way they carried their body. Now, I cannot say if this was obviously intentional and people do this on purpose, but this is what I read as somebody who had been disconnected from my home country for such a long time. And I remember like just switching like that, like, oh, I need to be mindful of how I walk. Like, I want to connect to my heritage and my way of living in my body through expressing the walk that I saw, the way people walked in my home country. And I remember from that point on, just being very clear on being attentive to how I moved in my body. I remember remembering like chest up to the sun and also butt up to the sun, not in a forced or really tensioned way, but just in a way that created a sense of dignity, posture, dignified posture. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think you can imagine how that would look like. Just a sense of intunement with the body from a place of pride and a place of grounding, you know. And it took away that bit of hunch I had developed unconsciously, but obviously that also affected how I presented myself, even for myself, right? And so when I intentionally put my shoulders back and lifted my chest towards the sun, and also like just engaged my core, like there was a sense of just readjusting to the way I wanted to present myself in my body. And for me, that of course was also connected to how I then perceived myself, but also how I approach life from that posture. So it's not all wild, the idea of psychotherapy. And I think just as thinking holistic beings, we are like, duh, of course, how can you believe that healing just happens in the mind? It's something we can always connect to through our physical body and through our physical representation and through the use of our bodies as well. Another way that you can connect to this understanding in traditional ways is, for example, in the traditional understanding of yoga and even Tai Chi. These are practices where the body is intentionally used to rebalance the mind and to reconnect to ourselves through mindful movement. And of course, you can also add to that, for me, African dance and African movement as a sort of healing practice as well, of course. There is a paper on that that I would like to share, and it's titled African Dance as Healing Modality Throughout the Diaspora, the Use of Ritual Movement to Work Through Trauma. This is work done by Nicole N. Monterio and Diana J. Wall. A paper worked on in the collaboration between the Center for Healing and Development as well as the U.S. Peace Corps. And I thought that this was obviously quite interesting because they have in their abstract, let me read it for you. It is, in the African worldview, dance is a conduit of individual and community healing. African conceptualization of illness and health integrate social, spiritual, physical, and mental realms, all of which are impacted by trauma. So basically, this paper explores different forms of dance and ritual throughout the African diaspora as they relate to the process of healing trauma. The understanding is that rituals involving dance play an essential role in relieving and treating symptoms of psychological distress, as well as neutralize and lessen the impact of psychological trauma. In many societies, these noted benefits of dance, as well as the impact of related cultural processes, operate without an awareness of their mechanics, but have been observed and researched as valuable therapeutic byproducts in themselves. I find that quite interesting in the sense that we had all these things we did naturally because we were living in alignment with ourselves, and we weren't always so intellectual about it, which is interesting because it's another aspect of the Eurocentric worldview that everything has to be intellectualized in a way that is seen as rational before it could be understood as meaningful. Whereas living from a place of intuitiveness, living from a place of just connection, there's a lot of things we've developed and created, not so much from intellectual perspective, but just as a natural way of existing. And I often reflect on this also if we think about nature, in the sense of if we think about animals. I don't think animals need researches and PhD studies to exercise or to act in ways that are actually naturally healthy for them. They just do it intuitively. It's like connected to their knowing, their inner knowing and connection to nature that tells them, hey, do this or do that when that happens. And I think in a way, us always needing to intellectualize, to research, to dissect and then put together and verify and what does the science say is also because we have been disconnected from our intuitive knowing, and now we need these kinds of studies and we need these kinds of understanding in order to understand the world we live in. And we don't have that trust within ourselves to know that if I just stay still and listen and disconnect from what I've been taught and how I think I should live, I know within myself what is right. I know within myself how to move through life, you know? Now, of course, we could argue that there is a lot of beautiful things that have come from studies and understanding, but it's also rare we actually talk about how the over-intellectualization of existence has also negatively impacted our lives. And I would even say that also goes back to our connection to body in healing, because it's literally asking you to disconnect from your overworked brain that you are always in, you know, the things you have to do, the things you have to complete, the places you have to go. Like, it's always a disconnect from actually listening to our bodies. Basically, the wisdom in our body that is always available to us when we sit and listen to it. It's interesting because I was also even having a session with a client of mine, and we were talking even about how we disconnect from intuitive knowing when it comes to approaching things, even in the dating world. And we are more connected to them in other areas, but we don't notice that connection. But we can notice it more when it comes to the dating world. Because, for example, within friendships or other more relaxed things that are not over-controlled or conceptualized in our modern and particularly Western-leaning societies, in, for example, as I said, friendships, if you meet somebody and you're like, oh, I don't feel that person, like something's a bit off, you don't pressure that, you don't force it, you kind of just like naturally back off. Or it's just quite more common that people don't force friendships, right? However, then when we talk about romantic relationships, we have a tendency to ignore how we feel in our bodies intuitively and to rationalize. And then we employ our mind to excuse what we're feeling intuitively. That, oh, this feels off. Oh, this doesn't feel nice. Oh, this feels like I'm forcing something. And then you're like, no, it's just the beginning. No, let's give it another try. No, maybe it's me. You know, like you employ your brain in a way to eradicate what your body is telling you about something. Whereas in other areas, even like with food or just, yeah, like more platonic relationships, it's more common for you to trust what your body is telling you and not even to give it a second thought. It's just, oh, I don't feel like doing that, so I'm not going to do it. Or I don't feel like engaging with that person, so I'm not going to do it. But also, of course, we talked about how sometimes those intuitive reactions can also come from a traumatic experience, but often they don't. Often they are just inner knowings. Often they are connected to just our bigger conscious connection that is more quick to tell us how we feel, how something is. And then we often just override it by either over-rationalizing or intellectualizing a situation to the point where we are convincing our brain of something our body has already made its mind about, right? But let's go a bit back to the whole body and therapy aspects, and particularly dancing. Now, this for me is also just another thing I've seen as a great improvement of my overall well-being by incorporating more dance into my life. And I'm also quite particular about the music I dance to. I would always recommend Afrobeats or African rhythm dance, or just, yeah, like drumming, like just more instinctive. It's almost like ingrained in us, specifically as Africans. I remember watching this one video of a kid and just music being played, and the baby just moved to the music. Like, it's instinctive how we move to that. You can just feel it, that your body's vibrating to the rhythm and wants to vibe with the rhythm, you know. Even reflecting on my younger sister, like when she was born, and just realizing how intuitive she was when it came to dance and even singing and making beats. I remember, like, she really surprised us when she was young, because she was beatboxing just naturally, you know, not just a sound she started making with her mouth, of course. That's how beatbox usually works. But she was like, I can't beatbox for nothing, but she was doing it. I was like, that's so interesting. Like, she was just connecting to that, and she would just do it in a way that was soothing for herself. You know, she'd move her body, and then she would beatbox a beat to it, you know. And I was like, that is so interesting, and that is so fascinating that we as humans just know these things. They are a part of us, right? And I also remember, like, in our house, dancing was such an important part of existence in everyday life. My mom would often put on music, and then we would just dance, you know? Like, it was just so natural. It wasn't something you had to think about. It wasn't even about performance, even though sometimes she would ask us to be like, come and do that little dance you were doing, like, when we would have guests, and you'd feel, like, all nervous but also proud, like, okay, time to put on the show. But just in general, it's something we naturally wanted to do. It's something we naturally incorporated in our everyday life. And then to grow up and become older, and just realizing how through, because growing up, of course, in Denmark, and a part of my upbringing happened in boarding school in Denmark. And so there was a bit of a disconnect from that, from my dancing practice, because I would spend the majority of my time in school, obviously. And I remember, like, rekindling that connection later on in life and embracing dancing again and moving my body again and just realizing how it made me feel to dance and how much tension I relieved, and also how I connected to my body in a very positive, I don't know, like, loving way, because I enjoyed doing something with it. And I was just like, oh, it's just a good feeling, because you're processing your emotions. And okay, it doesn't even have to be all that deep. Like, just put on some good music and dance. And I swear, after you finish, whether it's 20, 30 or an hour, you will feel different than when you started, because you've processed something, because you've moved into something. Of course, another part of that is because dancing is also a form of exercise. And we know that when we move our body to exercises, our body feels good, which is also why exercising is another form of self-therapy. I don't see it as just a way of just managing our body, but it's a way to enhance also how we feel emotionally and mentally. So dancing is also in that same category. It's a form of exercise, but exercise in the sense that it removes and uses and releases tension in a way that is therapeutical to the body, in a way that is soothing to the body, in a way that is celebrating of the body and the way we can use it. So for me, all of those things are quite accessible when it comes to just maintaining your well-being and maintaining your connection to your body. So perhaps even though everybody in healing and wellness is talking about yoga, but if you feel like, I don't actually particularly connect to that, you might feel more connected to dancing. You might feel more connected to walking. You might even feel more connected to practicing a form of martial art. There's so many ways you can use your body in a form of self-therapy, in a way that is healing, in a way that also helps you process how you feel mentally. And for me, another more low-key way I do this is doing my everyday walks, which I am forever going to be talking about, because people literally underestimate the power of walking, because they forget, as I'm going to keep repeating, that we were created to walk. We are created to move through walking at the very minimum. So there's also a lot of things that we process when we walk, especially because it's so accessible, especially because it's so low stress on the body. But at the same time, it's a way of processing stress. It's a way of processing tension by just moving in a rhythmic way and in a substantial amount of time. It creates something within us. And I could also even just reflect on that. Maybe just the fact that we are in movement is healing in itself, that not to be stagnant, you know, because like I also talked about how stagnant water is not healthy water, but if you put movement and oxygen within it, it actually becomes healthy water in nature. So we as well, when we put movement and the more oxygen in the way we move, because you breathe differently when you practice exercises, when you practice dancing. Basically, most forms of movement will change the way you breathe. So connecting your movement to your breathing, that also helps you connect your body in a way that is therapeutical and healing to it. There's also other forms of body and well-being and self-therapy. There's also sensual therapy. That could be even through sensual dance, dancing to something. And this is really important, of course, specifically to women and the connection to our womb and our feminine energy. Of course, men can also partake in this, but it's just a beautiful way of connecting to our more feminine aspect of life. And through this movement, especially movements that require you to use your waist and to use your hips and releasing any tension you might build. I'm actually just like rocking while I even talk about it, because it eases the tension that we hold in our body. It eases any, what do you call it, like unprocessed emotions that we might even have in our womb or in our hip area. And that also is therapeutical. That's also relaxing and soothing. And especially if you are somebody healing from sexual trauma, that is also another way that you can connect to that in a different way. You can also use touch in the way you touch your body. A lot of people, except when they're maybe like lotioning themselves, moisturizing, you don't practice self-touch in a way that is intentional, in a way of like even touching your arm in a soft way and just feeling that, how beautiful and how comforting that is, or touching your legs, you know, touching your body, like just enjoying using your body in a way that is reaffirming of the love and appreciation you feel for it, but also in the safety it is to exist within your body and in the sacredness that it is. I feel like that can also help us to connect to ourselves spiritually, while also helping us process any trauma, help us reconnect or reimagine how we want to feel in our bodies and celebrate how we do feel in our bodies, and owning the existence of ourselves through this physical form by claiming it in the way we dance, in the way we move, in the way we present ourselves. So basically, using body therapy as a form of reconnecting to yourself and realigning mind, body, and spirit, and knowing that all these things in alignment help keep you balanced and help keep you grounded, and that they're always accessible. Also, you can of course like combine these things together, like what I said before, being very mindful of the music that you move to, and also of course making sure that it is music that is empowering, music that is good for you also on a mental space, because there's a lot of music that is created with the rhythm that is going to make you dance, but then when you listen to it, it can be quite degrading, especially as a woman, or it has ideas and philosophies that are quite destructive and toxic. So I always try to listen to music that makes me feel, even through the lyrics, that I feel like this is a good vibe kind of music. Well, of course, there is sometimes where you might want to tap into music that is very specific in a way, without judgment. That's also okay. But just to be aware in the overall of the music that you do enjoy to move your body to. For me particularly, that's why I usually stick to Afrobeats or just rhythmic drumming, or just, yeah, like, what do you call it, like salsa beat kind of music, like music that's just about like, ooh, yeah, let's move in our body, let's celebrate that we have these beautiful things and life is good, you know. I always like try to, because I am sensitive to the content of the music as well, I try to make sure that the majority, not always, but the majority of the music I listen to is also speaking life into me, is speaking love into me, speaking grounding into me, and just speaking wellness into me. And I love Afrobeats for that, because for me, I can get down to some Afrobeat beats. So basically, that's what I wanted to share, guys. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode, and I hope that it just has shown you more ways in which you can practice self-therapy, particularly body psychotherapy on yourself, through connecting, whether it's through your tradition, because a lot of us do have traditional ways of connecting to the body through dance, through chants, through music, and you can also apply that to your wellness journey and holistic healing journey. And as always, obviously, if you ever need guidance in that, you are always welcome to book a session with me. I'll also leave that in my description box. I hope that's what it's called. And you are always welcome to look for guidance and look for people who can assist you in that. I also saw a lot of people who offer African dance as a therapy form. So if you have access to that where you live, I would also recommend that, or even joining a yoga practice that is really focused on healing and not just performative yoga in the sense of see what I can do. But not that there's anything wrong with that, because that can also build your confidence, but just from a place of reconnecting and healing and processing. And yeah, otherwise, if you need some guidance, as I mentioned, don't hesitate reaching out on my website in Bloom Baby Bloom. I offer sessions on holistic healing and grounding and from a decolonial perspective. And I really, really enjoy my work, because these are all things, as I said before, that I have seen great benefits from my own body, and also the conversations I have with women on holistic living and healing. And so it's just my joy to keep working with those kinds of practices, and from that perspective and worldview of knowing that we are connected, mind, body, and soul, and our healing and well-being practices have to also be holistic. Otherwise, obviously, I want you to have a beautiful weekend or the end of the weekend, and I hope you feel ready and you've done some self-care and self-grounding and expression with your body, and you are more than ready for a new week. I send you lots and lots of love, and I will, of course, be talking to you in the next episode. I hope you have enjoyed this episode on Bloom Baby Bloom. If you have any questions or comments or just little highs, please feel free to reach out here or on our website at bloombabybloom.com. Otherwise, as always, I send you love, courage, and light to guide you on your path to your truest and most abundant self. You are so very worthy. See you next time. With love, May.